and it's going to start recording.
Okay, and then I'll have that, okay.
And then now, if you do function two, and you tab down to right there, that's mm-hmm. where you type in your notes and everything.
And then I function two every time we change something, right?
Yes, however, go ahead and hit stop. Stop recording.
Ladies and gentlemen, we'd like to call to order the Board of Adjustment meeting for November the 15th. If you would please stand and pledge the flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay.
Call the roll.
Call the roll.
Mr. Carrasco? Ms. Colley?
Here.
Mrs. Johnson?
Here.
Mr. Juergen?
Here.
Mr. Rogers?
Here.
Mr. Williamson?
Here.
Mr. Roos?
Okay, we have a quorum. Has everyone reviewed the minutes?
Yes.
Do we have any corrections or additions? Do I hear a motion to approve as submitted?
Move to approve them as written.
Second.
All in favor? All opposed? Okay. Our first case this evening is case SE10-0005, Timothy Ross. Request for special exception to open an indoor shooting range and retail store in the B5 wholesale business zone for property located at 909 Northwest 4th Avenue, approximately 8/10 of an acre.
Good evening, Patty Hitchcock. On behalf of the City of Ocala Growth Management Department, we submit our staff recommendation as an exhibit to these proceedings. This is a request for a special exception to allow an indoor shooting range in the B5 zoning district. Requested by Timothy J. Ross. The property is located at 909 Northwest 4th Avenue and is presently a vacant warehouse. I think for the public in attendance this evening, I'll go over a little background as to some of the details of the request, if I may. The proposed indoor shooting range will consist of 21 firing lanes for handguns. The firing direction for the handgun lanes is toward the southern wall of the building. The handgun lanes can be closed to allow longer range for rifle shooting, and the orientation for the rifle lanes is to the western wall of the building. The existing building is constructed of metal and concrete. Renovations will be performed to ensure that no projectile exits the building and to provide sound attenuation. The interior walls will be encased in steel with ballistic matting and sand-filled barriers between the exterior and interior walls. The backstop for the handgun firing lanes will be 5/16-inch plate steel, and the backstop for the rifle firing lanes will be 5/16-inch armored steel. Baffles, ceiling guards, and a ventilation system will be installed. Ballistic floor matting will also be installed to contribute to the sound attenuation. Only frangible ammunition made of tin and copper may be used within the facility. There will be no lead. Weapons will be checked upon entry to ensure no other kind of ammunition is used in the facility. The range will be open to the public up to 6 days a week, closed on Sundays. The hours are proposed to be 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. Open classes on weapon safety will be offered. There will also be specialty classes for youth and hunter safety courses. The ranges may also be reserved for law enforcement training, and competitive shooting leagues are envisioned. Staff has reviewed the application and is recommending approval with a number of conditions. Before going over the conditions, let me provide some of the information about the area which leads to the conditions. The property is surrounded by commercial zoning, B5 and B4. looking into the property from Fourth Avenue, you can see that the parking area is in disrepair, and there will need to be some work done on the parking area. This is another shot which picks up the back of the beauty supply store that fronts Northwest 10th Street and the Blue Napa building in the background. This is another photo of the parking area. This is the east side of the building. And this is looking north into the site from Northwest 9th Street. South of the property, south of 9th Street, there is a small church and a contractor's office. And further east on 9th Street, there are some single-family residences. The conditions of approval are that the special exception shall be granted to this applicant for this parcel only. Number two, the range shall comply with the range source book of the National Rifle Association of America with regard to design and operation. They have a best practices manual that was referenced in the code where we allowed indoor shooting ranges as accessory uses to manufacturing in the M1 and M2 districts. The building shall be renovated to provide acoustical treatment for sound attenuation to prevent sound from traveling beyond the property lines of the subject property. Prior to submission of applications for permits to renovate the building, the applicant and architect shall meet with the city building official, planning director, and fire marshal to discuss the information that must be included in the submission to ensure compliance with the conditions of approval for the special exception. Number five, the parking area shall be resurfaced and striped prior to issuance of a certificate of occupancy for the building. A sketch plan drawn to scale shall be submitted to the Growth Management Department for review and approval to ensure that all required parking spaces and access drives comply with the requirements of the Land Development Code. Based on the proposed use of the building, a total of 18 parking spaces are required, and one of those 18 parking spaces shall be for handicapped persons. On that plan, we'd also like a dumpster location identified for review and approval by sanitation. And a certificate of occupancy shall be obtained within 18 months of special exception approval or the special exception shall expire. We'll be happy to answer any questions you may have.
I have no questions. Anyone else have any questions? Hello, Mr. Kreska. Would the applicant like to speak? Please come up and identify yourself, name, address, and you will swear in.
My name is Tim Ross. My address is, you want a field box or you want a street address? Field box 1689 Bellevue, Florida, 34421.
Does it require a street address?
I don't know that it requires an address is all I know.
Can you raise your right hand? Do you swear or affirm that the evidence that you are about to give will be the whole truth and nothing but the truth?
I do. I have opened all questions up. The NRA specifications is almost mandatory for my range. Just to let everyone know where I'm headed, I'm making this an NRA club, where NRA is going to be directly involved with almost everything we do, including the insurance applications. So everything that we want to do with this range is going to be compatible with whatever their specifications are. The only thing, I don't know if the NRA has it yet, is this type of ammunition we're using, but everything else is pretty much very similar to what's going to be needed for an indoor range. Just give you some background on the ammunition that we're using. It's called centerfire ammunition. It's made in Pennsylvania. It's being tested in many avenues right now. Even the military is testing it. When it hits an object harder than it is, it disintegrates into almost like pepper. It doesn't deflect. It actually will break off if you try to reload it and you have too much pressure on it. It's totally non-lead and it's recyclable. So our recovery methods won't recover anything with lead. You won't have to have a filtration for lead, just recovering basically a broom and something to pick it up with. Putting in a 55-gallon drum and take it to recycling. Or we can ship it back to the manufacturer, and they have means. I've talked to them about that. They have means of actually remanufacturing within the rounds from it. They have been approved by the federal government, by the, I believe, Environmental Protection Agency has approved them. They are being used in more and more indoor ranges throughout the country simply because of the lead-free and the cost and economics of having a lead filtration system. They function in automatic or semi-automatic type of firearms. I had a demonstration when I went to the factory, and the deflection from these rounds, and having been a range instructor for 20-plus years with the sheriff's office here and for the college, for the academies, if you're close enough to any kind of lead projectile with a jacket, with a copper jacket on it, you're going to catch fragmentation from it. I've experienced that enough times. I've stood 3 feet away from this, and man fired a fully automatic weapon, two different ones, at a plate steel, parked his car 3 feet away, and all they did is hit the steel and went straight down into that much snow and pepper-sized particles. And what he advised me was there's also a size specification by the federal government that it cannot break in any larger particles than probably not even as big as a pepper bean. After seeing the demonstration, I saw it on the websites, and then I went up at first hand to see it, convinced me that it was better and safer than using lead and having all the filtration problems. We don't want any problems as far as sound. I understand that that's an issue, being 26 years in law enforcement. I understand what the sound problems can be, and everything according to specifications will be up to speed. If there's any.
Someone outside that building would perhaps not be aware of much of anything in the building, probably. I mean, I've been to a gun range, and I found it, quite soundproof.
Pretty much. We're talking about a steel-encased range with concrete and sand baffles, and in some places we're talking about putting blocks in as an additional baffle.
You'll have to do something with the ceiling area, right? But in any case, those issues aren't necessarily what we're here to decide.
The ceiling is the steel barriers, not only for backstops, but actually from the shooting lanes themselves, individual shooting lanes. There's going to be a steel plate that goes over top in case there's any, and having been on the range enough time or running enough training ops on my own, every now and then you get somebody that puts a muzzle up in the air, and for whatever reason, well, if this happens in this range, that steel's going to deflect that down to the barrier. That's how we have that. And with the ammunition we have, I'm not worried about over-traveling. It's going to turn to dust. It literally turns to dust.
So nobody coming in will bring your own ammunition?
No, that's going to be inspected. The weapons are going to be inspected for safety. I'm going to have a range master, excuse me, on the range at all times, so that there's no mistake about who comes into that range. Also, because it's an NRA membership, unless they have some sort of identification, have it fill out an application, we're going to know something about them. I did some research on some of the incidents that happened in South Florida and other ranges as far as individual shootings. Most of those people had backgrounds. The one most recently that I can think of is the lady who shot her son in South Park, Florida. She had actually been Baker acted 2 weeks before going there, and that's going to show up on a background check. These kind of things, it's not going to be an open range where anybody can just walk in with a firearm and fire, even if it passes inspection for the firearm, or if they buy our ammunition, use the right ammunition. They themselves are going to have to be able to possess a firearm. If you go to most ranges, open ranges, some places, nobody does this kind of check, and I don't want my kids to come in and shoot in this range and have to worry about someone beside them who's been involved in something and has potential danger.
I mean, does the ability to check this background allow a person to come in and shoot at that first visit, or they would have to make prior arrangements? Is that effective?
It's from my experience working with the sheriff's office, it can be done in just 20 minutes.
Okay.
A phone call away. I mean, if it's after hours, it can still be done. It's just a matter of setting that up with local law enforcement. And I've also talked with the Ocala Police Department about this, who's also involved in some of the conversations as far as designing the range. And we've actually, in the plans, I think you probably have in front of you, is an additional classroom, because I was asked if they could bring their firearm simulator in. And we put another classroom in there just for that reason, in case they wanted to. So there's been negotiations and talks about it. Nothing's in writing right now. I've got a lot of verbal commitments by law enforcement, both federal, state, and local. But it's one of those things where when it's up and running, we'll see what happens. the police academies. The FDLE has a standard for their, for police academies or law enforcement academies. My background on that is I was one of the 8 people that wrote the manual for law enforcement training academies 3 years ago, and there are certain specifications that they also have to have for one of their police academies or correction academies to go through it. And that's also in the plans of being met. Any other questions I can answer, I'll be more than happy to.
I've got a question back to ammunition. You said the projectile part is going to disintegrate like pepper, and they're not going to have any jackets.
No, ma'am.
So no brass to.
This is a compressed tin and copper. It's 90% tin or copper, 10% tin. It goes through an adhesive process and a superheating process. It's like a powdered metal where it's just compressed. Mm-hmm. And it has a hardness to it that's able to be fired and functioning in a firearm. But and that's why I was amazed. I had used it in trainings. At one point, some ranges you go to in law enforcement, they require non-lead projectiles. Mm-hmm. And when you do the research on non-lead versus frangible actually disintegrates, and there's no lead part of it, where some non-lead projectiles are actually just full metal jackets with a lead core. And their manufacturers will say, well, the lead is contained in, excuse me, the copper jacket, and it's not supposed to escape. Well, evidence has shown that it does escape. And for frangible ammunition, it's just the copper and tin. And when I saw the demonstration on YouTube, and they did it with a 50 caliber military rifle, and were firing steel with it, and then I went up to the manufacturer and asked them to put a demonstration on for me, which they did. They used handguns and 2 different submachine guns. And the difference for the armor plating between the rifle and the handgun is simply because the armor, because of the shape of the projectile, has the ability to penetrate different normal plate steel, or the handgun that doesn't even leave a scar. So the armor, when it hits armor, it just does the same thing it does with the other stuff.
Thank you.
Any other questions?
One question, and it's just in general. I'm looking at your plan here. In the writing, you said something about there was another range in the same building for rifles or longer. Is that like in front, running the other direction?
In order to fire rifles,
yeah.
Which is like AR-15s, that type of ammunition.
Right.
The handgun range would have to be shut down. Mm-hmm. And then on the extreme east side, southeast corner, in that section right there, we have enough for approximately 8 rifle lanes to fire towards the plating on the west.
Can you point to that?
What, she's got it up there.
This would be the handgun.
That's
range,
handgun, right?
And then the rifle range.
Up here. Gotcha. Okay. So you have to shut that.
So you'd have certain times when one would be available?
Yes, sir.
Predominantly pistols, probably, or handguns?
It's going to be predominantly a handgun range, and the rifle would be for people who want to come in. And well, that would be something they could schedule, and if we have a large enough backing, and then we would be able to schedule, say, a 4-hour session when people want to come in and shoot if they want to do it. Just like on certain evenings, we would have nothing but ladies come in to shoot, and then the classrooms, like we talked, is going to be, I'm going to have young kids. I put on classes for the CFCC. They wanted young children, not hunting age, smaller, to learn about the safety of firearms. And there's programs for the NRA to do it, and we created a program for CF at one time. We were putting it on all the way up to where hunter safety is also going to be involved with some of the projects that we put on, through fishing game. And NRA has multiple projects that they can do for kids all the way up to ladies and learn teaching people how to shoot, from beginner shooting, that kind of thing. Yes, ma'am.
Now, you said you were going to have a store there for merchandise?
Retail store for accessories for shooting.
Okay, but no firearms?
No firearms, no, ma'am.
Okay.
I'm not playing fire.
Any other questions from the board?
The one other thing I would bring up also is the ultimate goal is to have an SFL license for manufacturing with the same projectile to lower the cost. So I don't have to buy from some of the manufacturers. We reload our own, create our own ammunition, and use that on the range as well. Mm-hmm. Because everything, like I said, projectile powder is recyclable. The casings are recyclable, so we can reload. I've been reloading since I was 13 years old. I don't want to age myself into this.
Everything with the projectile is the same brass you would use with another type of projectile.
Exactly.
Right?
It's all very interchangeable. The other thing about this ammunition, like I said before, Centerfire has shown me where they can use this for self-defense. that can use this ammunition for hunting, and unofficially it's in Afghanistan being tested also. So it's, that was their words from...
Okay. All right, I think now we'll hear from the public.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Is anyone in the audience who'd like to speak? Come on, Mr. Peake.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Albert Peake, P-E-E-K, 16 Southeast Broadway Street, Ocala, Florida. I'm one of the...
Wait a minute. Swear
one second.
Oh, yes.
Do you swear or affirm that the evidence you are about to give will be the whole truth and nothing but the truth?
I do. I'm one of the owners of the property that is contiguous north of this piece, which where the beauty salon is located on Northwest 10th Street. Mm-hmm. Initially, when we heard about this, of course, being a gun range, we had some concerns, but I met with Tim and Bill Lovell, and they were very forthcoming with all the information of their design, shared the NRA information. Staff was very beneficial in providing not only their staff report, but all the other information. And really, most of our concerns are addressed. If you look at the neighborhood itself, being a real estate appraiser of the B4, B5 uses, there's all kinds of variety of industrial wholesale businesses. So I didn't find the use of that particular facility out of character of all the variety of uses that are there. Technically, I sort of have a question, and the staff has as a requirement that there would be sound attenuation to where you would not hear the sound of firearms going off beyond the property line. In the event that does occur, what's the process involved? A requirement for them to increase baffling or insulation?
It's interesting. I'm going to bring up an old business tonight about another issue, but nevertheless, I think if they are in violation of their special exception, it would probably require some form of complaint. But they have, in fact, agreed to that.
Oh, yeah.
And I think if they do not comply, that they would, in fact, lose their special exception. Maybe Mr. Lee could shed some light on that.
Sound has been difficult in the past, intermittent sound. One of honestly, biggest problems would be we haven't objectified what sound attenuation is. In other words, how many decibel levels under a certain decibel level is acceptable and over is not. We haven't done that. We've simply said that sound attenuation was required. So that makes it somewhat difficult. There is a sound portion of this ordinance, which is something that I don't deal with every day.
Sure.
Or on a regular basis at all. And that's why this is under my arm right now. There are acceptable levels of intermittent noise and acceptable levels of constant noise. I'm not sure what that decibel level is. Typically, one of the questions, and Patty, you can jump in here, sound has been something that has been complained to the police and to code enforcement historically. So it's a question of whether it's a disturbance of the peace or whether it's a violation of the sound ordinance, and someone has to be able to go out and monitor the sound to see whether it's below the acceptable level in the ordinance for intermittent sound or for constant sound.
At one point, I believe in the ordinance that I read, it talks about if a sound is generated more than 50 feet away from the location or something.
Right.
It did not really talk about the level of the sound. You know, obviously that's certainly a fair question. I'm not an active shooter, but I was in a range recently. And the normal operation of the range really requires, it was amazing to me how effective it was, and for it to be a satisfactory venue, but nevertheless, it's still, when it's undefined, it still remains undefined.
Well, Richard, how about this suggestion, is if it's possible for me to be notified or be involved in developing these levels for this particular use, I'm sure these guys will permit us to just monitor. Obviously, I'm not saying I'm going to be making a call on that, but I just want to be part of that process so we know what that level is. Being that the buildings are fairly close to each other, we're the closest one, but there's a couple of residences. After reading the NRA specifications, my gut reaction is I don't have a fear in the world on this. I just have three other brothers that are part of the family members. Two are lawyers, and I'm sure if there's ever a problem, it'll always be my fault, and if everything works fine, it's all their wise choice of how to go along with it. So if I could just be a part of that process, I think that's probably just a safe thing to take a look at that sound area. Like I said, the NRA specifications for the baffling, for the steel plates, the 3-inch wood as another replacement on that, and talking with Tim about the kind of ammunition, I'm very, very comfortable with the operation. I think there's a need for this. I belong to a Cal Sportsman Association out in Silver Spring Shores, which has an open range out there, and you know, having something in close proximity, I know law enforcement officers are in dire need since they no longer can use a facility that's out in the county. You know, they're looking for a location, and this would be in close proximity.
It's certainly, you know, it looks like something with a good location. Let me ask, is there a range reasonably close to here that you might use as an example prior to this occurring that would be of value to Mr. Peek's question? Well, he talked about the sound attenuation of a given range. I know the only range I've been in is between here and Gainesville. I was in it. It was obviously sound attenuated and very suitable for its application. I think that's probably the only concern that I think anybody would have. And my assumption is that you've got that covered, but by the same token, it's not appropriate for us to assume, I don't think.
Right, and that's having been involved with when there's sound, people in the neighborhood and things, I mean, what I did for a long time. You're always going to get, if there's too much sound, no matter what it is, even if it's within legal limits, you know, we used to come up with a meter and measure the sound. If we had a band playing in somebody's garage and was practicing after a certain amount of time, they'd shut down. But the most recent range that was put in was in the Anthony Industrial Park, of course. But I was down in another range in Leesburg. They have an indoor range. And I was in the front part, which is kind of a sports shop, pawn shop type thing. I couldn't hear them shooting. They had four people back there shooting. I couldn't hear them.
I was curious if there was something that Mr. Peek might see as an example that would.
Yeah, they put sound barriers up, and it's not difficult.
But obviously you will meet the same criteria in some fashion.
That's my plan.
Okay.
I wouldn't want it any other way.
Mr.
Chairman, just after the condition of approval, there would be no sound traveling past the property line. The attenuation has to be to that level. That condition is mirrored on the ordinance that was recently adopted for, I believe that was the gun range that went into Anthony.
That seems to solve that problem, doesn't it?
It should solve the problem. I must step further, though, before these gentlemen go to a lot of time and money making these interior renovations, I suggested that they and their architect meet with the building official, the planning director, and the fire marshal, so we can review these specifications. Where is this technology coming from? What aspects are they using in the renovations for this particular facility to ensure that they won't have these sound issues? I would hate for them to spend a lot of time and money, and then we have sound problems. We want to try to attack that up front.
No, so I think it's certainly done well, and obviously, sooner or later, he does have to meet that requirement to be open. And so, I mean, in reality, the public is protected by that agreement. And if it requires some additional work on his part, he's at this point, he's pretty much got to do it because he can't quit now.
Right.
Okay. Anybody have any questions?
That was the only concern I have. And if that's, you know, in her comment says that it doesn't pass the property lines, I think, you know, the community would be suited.
I'd like to get that in my neighborhood, quite frankly.
Yeah.
I have called the police about noise.
Yeah. But I think it's an appropriate use, and I think if there are specifications with that NRA guidelines and what staff has put together, I think it would be a good use. And, you know, obviously there's a need from law enforcement and the community. For something like this, so it would be something that I would utilize. So, all right, thank you. I appreciate your time.
Okay.
Thanks.
Thank you, sir. Is there anyone else in the audience who would like to speak in any fashion regarding this issue? Is there any discussion among the board?
I'll make a motion to accept it.
Second. Any discussion at all?
On the staff recommendations.
Mm-hmm. So we have a motion and a second. Would you like to call the roll?
Mr. Carrasco?
Yes.
Mrs. Colley?
Yes.
Mrs. Johnson?
Yes.
Mr. Williamson?
Yes.
Mr. Rogers?
Yes.
Mr. Jergens?
Yes.
You've been successful, sir. You may start work. Our next case is SE10-0006.
Patty Hitchcock again for the City of Ocala Growth Management Department. I submit my staff recommendation as an exhibit to these proceedings. This is a request of John and Mark Sapp for a special exception to allow outdoor sales of home garden and hobby farm equipment in the B4 zoning district. Property is located at 817 North Pine Avenue. And is also surrounded by commercial property. It is a vacant parcel right now. I believe the previous building was demolished in 1998. I believe it was a car wash, although some of the concrete surface is still there, as well as curb cuts onto Pine Avenue. This is the property immediately to the south. It is a vacant building. And looking further south on Pine Avenue, you can see the pawn shop in the background. And to the north is a used car business across Northwest 8th Place. And on the west side of Pine, we have the Interfaith Thrift Store, shed sales, and a vacant drive-through establishment. Staff has reviewed the application and is recommending approval with conditions. The first condition is that this special exception would be granted to the applicant for this parcel only. Number two, that outdoor display and sales would be limited to 45 units. Number three, a site plan shall be submitted within 6 months of special exception approval and site plan approval obtained within 12 months of special exception approval, or the special exception shall expire. I note that the site plan that would be submitted for approval will need to require more information than the sketch plan in front of you, just for clarification purposes for the applicant. And the last condition is that equipment such as backhoes and boom lifts may not be displayed in an extended position to increase their height and visibility. And I would be happy to answer any questions you may have.
Any questions of the board? Yes, Mr. Costa.
Yes, ma'am. When you came up with the 45, was that the same formula that Jody Cohn came up with for the units the last time this came up on further north on Pine?
No, sir. I asked the applicant how many units he intended to have on site. When they come in for site plan approval, I would want to see that they have paved surface to accommodate those 45 units.
Okay, that's fair enough. I just know that there was a formula that was created for that specific case that I was adamant about having a formula that we could reuse again in the future so everybody gets treated the same.
I'm sorry, I was not aware of that.
There was the Jody Cohn formula.
Was it a good formula?
I don't know. Don't know. Time will tell.
Those people seem to be somewhat successfully operating up there. Any other questions?
I appreciate you asking him how many he wanted, because that seemed to be a concept that didn't exist the last time.
Do we? Anything else?
I don't have anything.
Okay. Is there anyone in the audience who would like to speak, or the applicant would like to speak at this time?
Good evening. Paolo Mastroserio, 17 Southeast 32nd Place, Ocala, Florida.
Would you like to swear on that, please?
Do you swear or affirm that the evidence you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes, I do. Thank you. I'm here representing the Sapp brothers and agree with staff and their findings and their conditions. Thought Mr. Sapp would be here to maybe elaborate on some of the equipment that he has. However, he's probably thinks the meeting's tomorrow. Maybe I should have called him. But do agree with Patty and staff that we will provide a detailed site plan that meets code requirements and provide the necessary landscaping and buffers and all the information that's necessary to accommodate the city and obviously the potential owner. If they have not purchased this piece of property yet, they have a contract and it's all contingent upon you know, what happens, I guess, here tonight. So I'm here to answer any questions that y'all may have.
Have you discussed with Mr. Sapp regarding the height issue?
Height on the
extended booms?
I have not.
As I did. And the horsepower. We discussed both.
Okay. That was perhaps the only question I have. Yep.
No, so you're actually going to build a building? Good deal.
Any other questions with the board? Thank you.
Thank you.
Is there anyone in the audience who would like to speak regarding this issue? Do we have a motion?
Make a motion to accept as the staff recommendations call.
Second.
Call the roll, please.
Mrs. Cully?
Yes.
Mr. Rogers?
Yes.
Mr. Jergen?
Yes.
Mr. Williamson?
Yes.
Mr. Roos?
No.
Absent.
Coach Carrasco.
Oh, Mr. Carrasco.
Yes.
I'm sorry, I did it backwards.
It's okay. I thought I'm supposed to be sitting over there.
Mrs. Johnson.
Yes.
Okay. You have no problem being confused with Mr. Roos?
No.
Sorry.
Happens all the time.
That concludes all of our new business. Is there any old business? I have some, but is there anyone else? Recently we approved the entertainment facility over in the industrial park. I don't know if y'all have read the newspaper, but there has been a noise problem already. Tell me what happens next.
We just heard about it before this meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Because it was in the paper a couple weeks ago?
I haven't seen it.
It was pretty eventful, apparently. I wasn't there.
Well, I did hear about the girl who got hurt on her 21st birthday.
Yeah, that was in the paper, too. But that was a separate issue. There was, because I was concerned initially. In fact, I think I was probably the only vote that did not approve
for
this.
For the outdoor concert or something?
Huh?
Or was it because
of that? You know, I guess I'm going to say semi-outdoor in a sense. If I perceive this right, I wasn't there and haven't, you know, been there as a customer. There's an area under a roofed area that is quite a large square footage area that I assume this, I don't know when it was held. But nevertheless, I think there were people in an apartment complex who were impacted pretty noticeably by this, and apparently the police became involved. And but now here was the concern I had, because I dealt with it in my home. Basically, the police informed them that they were permitted to do this, when in fact we did give them permission to do this. But now, we were assured that this noise would not be an issue for the people living there, and now we might be, 120 days into this program, and in fact that was not the case. It appears that they're in violation of their exception.
What we'll do is we'll go back, we'll pull the minutes, we may pull the verbatim minutes and listen to them, and then we'll have a discussion with probably the deputy city manager as to how we should proceed, and possibly city legal staff, and decide whether it's a police matter or it's a zoning matter.
There you go. I think it's
I think he agreed not to have loud music outside past a certain hour, if I remember correctly, but that's over a year ago.
Yeah.
And
well, we just heard
he also talked about the construction, because there is some kind of buffering wall around that area where those outside concerts are supposed to be held, because that was supposed to ensure that the noise didn't travel.
I don't remember that.
Yeah, I don't know if it comes back to us until it formally comes back to us. I don't know.
Well, in reality, I don't think we're not the enforcing agent. Period.
That's right. You're not.
It doesn't ever come back to us, does it?
No, it won't come back to you.
No.
Unless it's remanded back here because they need to make more noise than they were allowed to make in the first place, and they need some kind of an amendment to their special exception.
You know, one of my concerns a little bit, of course, I was individually concerned. I mean, in reality, when you put on a concert, I can sit at my house at 942 Southeast 5th Street and hear what's going on in the downtown square. And when I go home and go inside my home and you come in there with me, you have just picked a fight. And I didn't hear that music over there, but I don't think anybody that's in their place of residence should be impacted by a private enterprise desire to put on a show for any reason. And when I think, you know, when people come here and they tell us what they're going to do, and then in fact that turns out not be true, I'm curious how it gets handled. I'd like to know the outcome of this.
Okay.
Whether the board wants to know or not, I do.
I think you guys probably know this as well, though. There's a 3 or 4 clubs in town that take turns at this, and they keep calling each other in for noise ordinance because they know it causes them a problem. And each one wants the other one to go out of business.
That does happen.
And that's a fact. I mean, that does happen.
I was sitting by a police officer when one call came in.
It does go on in between some of the clubs in town.
Well, yeah, what we're hearing there is, you know, that's a...
But it's still, yeah. It still could have been a noise problem.
Yeah, we were there, regardless of how the method occurred.
Well,
they can also sometimes do
that. But, you know, that's the responsibility of that business owner. I don't care what the problem is.
I agree.
And in reality, irregardless of why the complaint occurs, if in fact the complaint is viable, it doesn't matter where it comes from, whether it's a disgruntled competitor or some guy that's tired of being in his home listening to this stuff.
I live on 17th and 18th, pretty much that corner up here, and I can hear football at Forest High School, and that's quite a ways.
No, you're hearing MCY, though, probably.
Is that MCY?
Yeah.
It's one of the... But, you know,
every morning,
quite
Saturday
a
morning early.
Not that it bothers me, but... It travels at certain times.
Anyway, I'm just...
We will check into
like
that. We got a very recent... recently we were made aware of it, that it was traveling all the way to 475, so...
Hmm. Wow, there you go.
You know, in fact, I guess you'll probably pull the article. They gave the name of the apartments. I don't know where they were. I was curious if it might have been those... Nevertheless, where they were, that really didn't matter.
Right.
Right.
He did say it wouldn't be an issue, though.
Huh?
He said it would not be an issue.
Yeah.
Well, you know, picture this. Everybody that comes before us wants us to allow them to do what they want to do.
Mm-hmm.
Period. Well, that's the only reason they're here.
Yeah. I can tell you, these things like noise, smell, they're a little more difficult to deal with than something that's more tangible.
Well, they certainly are.
So
I think it's unfortunate. You know, I'm curious. I mean, I think you're right about the definition. Maybe we need a definition.
Well, the one time we did the checkers on American, they had those.
Interestingly, that was nobody ever defined the decibels. Were you around that going on? There was a big brouhaha about that, and literally that applicant hired a consultant that was qualified with the DOT.
Yeah,
and they took the test, and they measured that sound, and in reality came back and
that
determined
was sonic on
that was sonic.
Yeah.
But they checked sonic over there on 464. It was interesting to see what they did, because it really didn't have any teeth in it, in the sense it didn't meet any requirement of the
traffic
city.
Was
but
louder.
They went to the
traffic
trouble to show
louder.
You that the traffic
was
had a greater impact on the neighborhood than an operating facility of its type.
Right.
Because what was interesting is the only business technically impacted by that ordinance is Sonic, because they are the only business that serves curb service, I think. Anyway, it passed, but it certainly had a lot of resistance, and it had a lot of lack of definition of how you would make that determination. I think we are.
They never opened, did they?
I felt like it would not impact them, unfortunately. But there was a lot of history to that one, because those people that were living there had it really kind of had a raw deal in the sense many, many things that were told to them didn't come to pass. Of course, they were.
Mr. Williamson, which one was that? Was it Rax or was it Sonic?
That was Sonic.
But it was on 40, correct?
It was going to, they haven't built it. They did not build it. And I guess it's not going to be built, but it was going to be built across the street more or less from Outback in that, so in that little project that David Cope did. There's an Arby's there now, but this is
Walmart, and they put a
It, you know, it, and I have on more than one occasion chatted with the police in my driveway, and first of all, they don't want to hear about it. Because they read me the ordinance, and the reason I know that, he read me the ordinance, he says, the ordinance says something about if the noise is over 50 feet away, and you can hear it, it was a problem, and I said, well, do you see any source of noise within 50 feet of us? In that case, I think maybe it'd be time to do something about it. Of course, they really...
You know, there's a band that plays on a regular basis on Southeast 9th Street. You may be getting confused with downtown, but
it hasn't been as much of a problem.
No, but there is a band that plays on Southeast 9th Street behind that engineer by the 8th Street track. There's a two-story engineering firm there, architectural firm, and behind it there's a house that there's a band that plays there on a pretty regular basis, because I've got two rentals there, and I know that it's impacted them quite a bit.
Do we have any other witnesses? I mean, this conversation kind of gone?
I think it's over. Dinner time.
I'm ready to go.
We'll check into it.
Meeting adjourned. Not known if we have a meeting next month yet?
We should have.
I have no paperwork to do.
We have to have an election of officers. Which Crest Hill office would you like to hold, sir?
Doesn't matter. Whatever you tell me to do, Rich.
I don't. I mean, I almost think we did this. Nobody else thinks we did?
Is it on part of the agenda?
I'm not thinking on
We don't have a co-chair.
For some reason, it was my perception that I accepted the responsibility of chair and Charlie accepted the responsibility of vice chair.
Yes, you're correct. It's in here.
You did?
It's in here.
Meeting's adjourned.
All right, good. So that was for this year or for next year?